Thank you very much. It's a very big kavod to us to be able to join Bnei Yeshecher Anachnu, the Achdus that Rabbi Lubin was discussing, the feeling that we all share the same Rebbe. We're all together and sharing the same Mesorah. We definitely feel that we're the beneficiaries of that Achdus that the yeshiva here in North Miami has been extremely gracious and has definitely expressed to us that hiskarvus, and it's definitely our privilege to be able to come join and share in that feeling of togetherness. And it's our kavod, the kavod to the yeshiva asking us to speak. And even though I definitely don't feel it's my place in front of Rashi Yeshiva and Halsi Yeshiva and Chaverim of the yeshiva who are older than me, But because it meant as a cover to the yeshiva, that's why I accepted. Try to think about the impact of Reb David. Reb David was nifter in 1941. He over 70 years ago. He died, in his early 50s. And you try to think and imagine that here we are over 70 years later in North Miami. Baruch Hashem, a tremendous Makom Torah. The yeshiva here, a Beis Medrash, a high school, an elementary school. So many different members of the yeshiva. The members of the Anhola and Rabbeim and people that have transformed the community of North Miami. And joined by, we're coming from a place that's at a different stage. More of a seedling stage, where a small yeshiva just starting, but also a community which has an elementary school, which has rabbanim, which has the rav of the shul that the yeshiva is located in, Rav in East Boca. I think I got an email the other day with somebody had sent me an email with all the chaver from the yeshiva that are in Boca and East Boca together. I think it's around 32. It's like 32 chevra that were from the yeshiva that are now in some, probably, most of them in Harbasa Torah in Boca Raton. And we're sitting here and joining together to commemorate the yard site of Reb David, who lived so many years ago. But that influence, it all comes from his influence. The fact that the yeshivas are here, the fact that the communities are what they are, the fact that the Marbitzei Torah, the communities, are all really stemming from that hashpa of that one man. The Reshiva Zatzal, the work that he did, Reshiva would constantly talk about his father. He constantly got the impression from the Rish Yeshiva that he was motivated and inspired by the message of his father, besides the fact that he said it all the time. Reshiva would always say that one of the major driving forces in his Harbat Torah was the image of his father. But you saw it. You saw how the Reshiva would be patterning himself after his father, similar to the fact that we, in our very, very small way, like use the image of the Rish Yeshiva Zatzal, his gavrikayt and his strength. Reshiva would talk about Reb David's strength and Reb David's betachin. Reshiva would talk about the tremendous Das Torah of Reb David. And you'd see how the Reshiva was mesmerized after all those years. You'd see how the Reshiva was just so taken by the strength and the tremendous gavrikayt of his father, and you would see how it was motivating him and inspiring him to pattern himself after that and have that same betachin to try to perpetuate that. What was Reb David's strength? What was it that gave Reb David all that power? Reshiva told Reb David's betachin. I know the Reshiva, Reb Lumi was saying how the Reshiva would always say over the same speech. Reshiva at all the yard sites would always say over a few stories that here I have an opportunity. A lot of the Olam was never in Queens. They never had a chance to hear the stories. So Reshiva would say over one story of the famous story of the apples that at that point, when the yeshiva started in Williamsburg, the yeshiva was very, very poor. They didn't have a lot of money. So there was a woman that used to bring apples to the yeshiva, and the and it was you know, the yeshiva really could use it. Like nowadays, if someone brings some apples to the yeshiva, it wouldn't really make that much of an impact. But in those days, like, you know, so it was nutritious food, and it saved the yeshiva money. It was a big deal. But she used to be mevazer of David. She didn't treat David nicely. So the yeshiva would recount how, as a young boy, he would I guess put himself down a little and say he was mara halacha b'fnei rabbi, and he said tata vafra rice, you should throw her out. And the yeshiva would always recall Rav David's response. He said, if she would leave, I'd be happy. But maybe this is the way that Hashem wants to be mefardes us. The yeshiva would describe that was an example of Rav David's bitachon and his amunah. If she would leave, he'd be happy, even though the yeshiva really needed it. But Rav David wasn't concerned. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking care. He wasn't nervous. If she would leave, the yeshiva would get the apples or find some substitute another way. But the amunah, maybe this is the way that Hashem wants us to get it. The yeshiva would recall those stories and recall Rav David's bitachon and how Rav David wasn't fazed and how even though the situation, the financial situation was so bleak, how Rav David would carried on lo lacha malacha ligmar, that it was not about accomplishing, it was just about doing. Well, where did Rav David draw that strength? Where did Rav David get that strength from that impacted the yeshivas themselves so strongly? And that really we're still feeling the impact of it so many, many years later. What was the source of that strength? And how could we possibly tap into that? So I think that strength, I think, really comes from the package of what the yeshiva really stresses. You know, the stresses of the yeshiva are not random. It's because the yeshiva itself stressed certain things that he got from his father. And it's mistaber that those are the things that gave that made up Reb David's makeup and Reb David's strength, of course, with his kaychais. But with our kaychais, we really have, in a certain sense, the opportunity to tap into that same strength. That same strength and that same power, where with Reb David's kaychais, it's leaving impact so many decades later, that we here are experiencing that impact, that we're just one community of many, many communities. The same way we're having the gathering tonight, there could be many other communities around the United States that could have the same gathering. That same power and strength is something that we could tap into. We could also have our chelik of that strength. I tried to categorize it into four areas, perhaps. First, perhaps, is the limud ha-Torah. The Rishiva would always talk about and demonstrate for us from David's mahalach and learning, the tremendous amelus in learning, the idea of that not only to be amel, but that the nature of the melus was inside out, to back and forth, minei yubei, from inside the sugya. That if a person allows himself to be more broad, if a person allows himself not to necessarily to be mitzamsein himself to every single detail of working things out, so then he doesn't have that same hechrach to push himself and to come up with exactly what the pshat that's coming from the sugya. When a person is mishabed himself to work out all the details and sweat, and it doesn't quite fit. It might be more geschmack for me to just come up with a svara, but it has to fit into these parameters. And he forces himself to come up with that svara, that amelus in learning that the Rishiva would describe. Reb David was saying a chabura in Slobodka in the cold winter, and he'd start sweating. That the sweat that would gather in his face from the tremendous amelus, the Rishiva would say that's when he knew that the Chiddush was coming. When the sweat started coming down his face in the cold winters, then you knew that the Chiddush was coming. Like that tremendous amelus in learning, that amelus in learning doesn't just mekayim a mitzvah of amelus b'torah. It's not just the kiyum of a mitzvah of limud ha-Torah. But that's what gives a person a tremendous degree of strength. The Rishiva, I think he would quote Reb David, I'm not sure, he would say that a Rebbe who's a bigger lamdan, if a Rebbe is an Aleph Beis Rebbe, so a bigger lamdan is a different Aleph Beis. That everything a lamdan touches, the more of a lamdan a person is, the deeper he is, the more sophisticated he is. It's not just the question of a particular svara that he says in this particular place, but every single thing that he sees, every single thing he experiences, every single thing in learning and out of learning that he addresses, he's addressing with a different sophistication, with a different strength. My father-in-law, Rabbi David Harris, He often quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that Eliezer Ze'ira, Havisai Masani Uchmi. Eliezer Ze'ira one time put on black shoes or black shoelaces, and he went in the Shuk of Naharda. So they found him there. And apparently the black shoelaces they look like it's Mechsi Kiyura. It was a demonstration and a display of Avelos for the Beis HaMikdash. But since it wasn't the normal common display that people normally display, so it appeared as though he was being overly gaivedic, as if he thinks he's special and that he feels more the Avelos of the Beis HaMikdash than anybody else. So what do you do with such a guy if the guy's about gaiva? So of course, you throw him into jail. That's what they did. So they threw him into jail. So he told them, he said, no, you shouldn't throw me into jail, because Gavra Rabba, no. It's not Mexicura, I'm not about Gaiva. I'm really Gavra Rabba, it's genuine. So they said, okay, how do we know you're telling the truth? Minoy Adina, how do we know? So Amalahu, he said, I'll prove it to you. How do you want to do this? Should you ask me a Shiloh, and I'll answer? You want me to ask you a Shiloh, and you'll answer? So that's what happened. He asked them a Shiloh and Huchas Mazik. And they gave an answer, and he slugged them up, and then he told them the answer, and they ended up verifying that his answer was right, so they let him out of jail. So if the problem was that he was Mexicura, that the feelings of Avelis that he had were not genuine, so they should have found some test to test if he's a real Bahar Gasha. They should have found some test to test if he's a tzaddik. He showed that he was strong in learning. Okay. But how does that mean? How is that the way to test whether or not his feelings are available for the Beis HaMikdash? Whether those feelings are truly genuine and beyond the norm? Because the depth that a person has in learning and the level of lamdas of a person doesn't just impact that now he's able to learn better or understand better. But even his hargashas are deeper. His hargashas of ruchnias are deeper hargashas. The more Torah that a person imbibes and inculcates within himself, and the deeper that the Torah is within him, the bigger impact it makes on who he is, on his strength, that he has a different commitment, he has a different strength, he's able to stand up to different pressures, he's able to know clearly what it is that needs to be done, and he's able to have the strength to be able to stick with what's done. And to be able to, the full gamut of the ruchni yistekah hargashas that are important, the more of a lamdan is, the more he has that capacity. So that was probably a tremendous amount of Reb David's strength, and what the yeshiva was so nispal from, and the impact that it made was the depth of Reb David that came from his learning, that came from that tremendous amelos, from the tremendous depth in learning that came from that mahalach of I think the yeshiva used to say how Reb David was mitzamzem himself. That's not in Eloy, someone that's very, very smart could easily allow his mind to just flow, but the line was, there are no iluim when it comes to pshat. The idea is that to make sure that you have to be mitzamsem your process of thought to see if it fits, and the back and forth, and to emerge with what the Torah really, really is telling you. The Baruch Hashem, we in the yeshiva have the schus to tap into that same style. Obviously, our Rebbe's not the Granat, and obviously we don't have Reb David's kolchos, and obviously we can't achieve it to the same degree that Reb David was able to achieve it. But on our level, the idea of that same style of learning that we're being trained with, the Minei Yubei, and all that tedious thoroughness that makes it so difficult and frustrating, that's all a way of getting ourselves to have that same amelos and to emerge with that same understanding and to come up with that same depth. And to give us that strength, to tap into that strength that has such an impact and has such a tremendous ability to influence others and to influence ourselves and everyone that we come into contact with. And sometimes we feel like what's our, it's so hard, it's so frustrating, like how, there's Reb David with his kochos, Rashiv with his kochos, but how are we able to do it? There's a medrash that discusses the pasuk. But the pasuk says that lo yiflasi mimcha. The pasuk says ki karav elacha davar ma'od. The Torah is very, very close, very, very close to you. The ficha v'avcha la'asaisa. The Medrash gives a mashal. Medrash says someone walks into the base Medrash, and he sees that people are learning, are Isaac and learning, And he sees that they know what they're talking about, that they're Bikiyim, they're Lamdanim, they're Talmidei Chachamim. So he says, how do you achieve this? So they tell him that first you start learning, Mikra, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and then you move on, and you take one step and another step until you become a Talmid Chacham. So the Medrash says, he says, this is not for me, I can't do this. There's no way I'm able to achieve this. So the Medrash says, there's a mashal. A tippish walks into a room, and he sees that there's a loaf of bread hanging from the ceiling. So he looks and he says, I can't get it. It's hanging, it's high. I'm not able to reach it. So he leaves the room and he gives up. And even though he was hungry and he really wanted to eat, he gives up and he doesn't take the piece of bread. So they say afterwards, after he leaves, they say, what a fool. That doesn't he realize? How do you think the piece of bread got up there? It wasn't born there. Somebody obviously brought it up. So he should have deduced, oh, there's a ladder. He should have just gone and got the ladder. He should have gone up and gotten the piece of bread. So, because the same way that they put it up with the ladder, you can take it down with the ladder. So see, the Medrash says it's the same thing. That you look and you see all these people and there's such Talmidei Chacham and you say, how could I possibly achieve that? You give up. It's too daunting. So you give up. How do you think they got there? They weren't born there. So the same way that they got there, you could get there. So the Eitz Yosef explains, he says that the way to achieve Hasagas HaTaira is by learning slowly, step by step, and then a person is able to achieve something that naturally is really nalav, is really above his seichel. Naturally it's beyond him, but after his Yagoba Ma'at Ma'at, then Oz Yichanes Belibo, then the Torah enters into his heart, and the Nikshar HaPratim Kulam, all the different details come joined together until he achieves a hasaga rama, until he achieves a tremendous hasaga, a tremendous understanding. If you think about it, when we're daunted by that picture, we see the tremendous Talmid Chacham, the tremendous Landon, that we want to become that Landon. So we say it's so daunting, it seems so beyond us. The Medrash says it's just like the piece of bread. The piece of bread, the fact that it looked so far and distant was really an illusion. He looked up and he saw that piece of bread and it looked very, very far. But the reality was, with just a little bit of thought, it wasn't far at all. All you had to do was bring over the ladder and climb up. It didn't take any massive leaps. It didn't take any running jumps. It was just an illusion. It was just the fact that he's taken by the external image. It looks like it's far, but really it's not so far. Really, all you have to do is bring the ladder. Sounds like the Medrash is saying it's the same thing. That we look at a Talmid Chacham. We look at the goal and the ideal of becoming a tremendous Lamed and a tremendous Talmid Chacham is something that's so daunting. The answer is not, it really is quite daunting, but if you really give it a tremendous, tremendous effort, it's almost impossible, but it is possible to eke it out. The answer is that it's deceptive. It looks like it's elusive, it looks like it's so far, it looks like it's distant, but the reality is that when a person begins learning and he applies himself and he dedicates himself to do it, that it's really karev to him, that Kadosh Baruch Hu planted us with the ability that the Torah connects to us and it becomes connected to our hearts. And when a person applies himself, the Torah which appears so far and so distant is really not so distant at all. As he learns and as he applies himself to get that piece of bread that seems so far and so high, then the siyata d'shmaya kicks in and the skyvus of Torah to the yiddish neshama kicks in, and he'll find himself making connections and things will click. So we really have the ability to tap into that the tremendous force of learning that carries with it such power. Perhaps the second factor is the yeshiva places a tremendous emphasis on limud hamusar. The yeshiva would say that there were many gedolim that came from Europe. She would say that a lot of them were depressed because in Europe people were machshav them and they were gedolim. And they came to America and, you know, it wasn't like now that there was such an ayam hatayra. And they felt that they weren't appreciated. And a lot of real true gedolim, she would say that they were sad and they weren't necessarily so happy. But she would say about his father had tremendous simcha. She would quote, Nari isi gam zakanti v'lo reisi tzadik nezav. She would darshan. That says, Lo Re'isi Tzadik Nezav. It says, I never saw a tzadik lacking. It doesn't say that the tzadik was never lacking. It says, I never saw it. that his father, even though his father was so poor, that at one point the reshiva didn't even tell his father that he couldn't afford that he needed new shoes, that he had holes in his shoes because he knew his father couldn't afford it. But his father had such a simcha. You never saw by his father. You never saw that he was lacking. And the reshiva touched it up. It was because Rav David was into Musar. The Limud HaMusar, the focus on the fact, on what's important in life, the clarity that comes from someone that learns Musar, that comes to someone that learns Musar, the betachan that comes, the realization of the fact that Kadosh Baruch was taking care of him, and that mistama played a big role in Reb David's strength and Reb David's betachan, and of course the midas tovas that come from learning Musar, which are so necessary for a person to accomplish on behalf of Klal Yisrael. The third aspect is the chachmas hamusar, is the shmuzin, which give a person a perspective, a depth and sophistication, not just in learning, but in mili the alma. The Shiva would often quote how Reb David was so proud of the smicha from Reb Moshe Mardechai, from the Lubavitch Mardechai. That Reb David possessed chachma in the flub and mili the alma. Reb David possessed a tremendous chachma in worldly things. That part of it was probably natural. He was a natural pikeach. But mistama, the chachma samusar and the shmuzin, give a person a different depth and a different insight and a different understanding. And the mistama that also played a tremendous role in Reb David's makeup. And the fourth is how the reshiva would often describe how devoted Reb David was to his Rebbe, the altar. How Reb David would, even on the last trip in the ambulance, when he was going to the hospital, sometime before his Petira, Reb David was talking about my Rebbe the altar. The combination of having the shmuzin and the chafos amusr, and having the chazal to apply to know how to govern every situation, but at the same time, to have the Rebbe and the guidance of someone from the generation right previous to yours, to have the emotional support that comes from a person that feels connected, these would seem to be the factors, or probably plenty more, but it seem to be the factors that help make up the Reb David that had that power, the learning, the musar, the guidance, and the clarity to know what's das Torah that came from chachmas samusar, and that came from having a Rebbe and the guidance that a Rebbe provided and the support and emotional support that a Rebbe provided. Baruch Hashem, we on our level, we have the skills to have all of those. That we also have the ability to learn in that same style. We have the ability to devote ourselves to the Limud HaMusar. We have the ability to work on the Shmuzin. We have the ability to be Makasher ourselves to our Rabbeim and to try to understand from them the Masorah that they received, and to try to get the guidance from them and the feeling and the emotional feeling from them, and to use perhaps that image of Reb David and see the impact that he had, to be able to see what that power is, that if we devote ourselves to the simple program of the yeshiva, just what the yeshiva is stressing, not to the exclusion of the other parts of the yeshiva, the Mishnah Berurah Seder and the Bekiah Seder, but if just simply the program, what the yeshiva is stressing, nothing else, to see what power that possesses, to see what it's able to accomplish. And of course we would want to have our part in that. But that's Hashem, that we should be zocha through that, to use that inspiration of Reb David, to be able to get our part in that. And Bezer Hashem, we should have the skills to continue to perpetuate that to the future generations.